Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Oh yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Pastor Butwa, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
Are you well this afternoon?
Yes, my brother. The Lord is good with you.
No, the Lord is good. The Lord is indeed good. My pastor cannot complain. Now, we are talking about the authority of the Bible. And the question really today is Scripture inerrant? And so this week we're going to be looking at the authority of the Bible and whether or not the Scriptures are infallible and inerrant. And so we start off with an introduction to this book and how it came to be. Pastor, who wrote the Bible?
It is God who wrote the Bible through his servant. Using his servant according to the Bible.
Mm.
He prompted men of God. He moved them, he touched them, he inspired them to write.
Mm.
But the writing, the message that they were sending was directly from God.
Mm.
God in his wisdom decided to use humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided in wisdom to use people to write his word.
Mm.
Because we are junior partners, you know, in the plan of God as human beings.
Mm. Mm.
So he decided to use, and 2 Peter, you know, testifies to that.
What does it say?
You see, he says, the main thing to keep in mind here is that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of private opinion.
Mm.
And why? Because it is not something concocted in the human heart. Prophecy resulted when the Holy Spirit prompted men to speak God's word. That's message Bible. So, the word originates from God, and in his wisdom decided to use human beings as his junior partner to write the Bible.
I see. And how did this process happen?
Well, the Bible points to us, that God is the author. And then God decided to use the human hands in writing, and he inspired people to write, because what he was doing according to the spirit of prophecy, it is said it is the very thought of God communicated to man. It was his thinking, his mind. He communicated it through man using other men. That's what God did. So he used his people to write. He helped them, he inspired them to do, he moved them, he touched them to do. So the word originated from him, God.
I see. All right. You are then saying it was a divine inspiration. What does that mean, actually, that it was inspired?
To be inspired, it means that, first and foremost, it does not originate from human beings. God, in his wisdom, decided, because he's dealing with humanity and God is out there, so he decided to use the junior partners so that we speak the language that humanity understands. When God, he decided to come down like the way when he came down to us through Jesus. Jesus became flesh so that, he became one of us so that we could identify with him. So that the intention of God was that men could identify that this is one of us. So he decided also in writing, coming to us, his mind and his attitude and what he wanted us to do, he decided to use fellow human beings.
Yeah.
He inspired, he inspired them to write. He moved them to write. He touched them to write, so that they are at our own levels, easy for us to understand. We use them in their human language that we understand.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Now, having been, inspired by God using human beings to use a language that we can understand, who then compiled all of the books, 66 of them, that make up the Bible, and decided that it was God's word?
God originally, in contact with us, used our fellow beings like us.
Okay.
So he, the one who started this work also used individuals, groups, over centuries, so that they can compile, use the authors, the prophets, the priests, and the wise men to compile the scripture. And then the Jewish scholars collected and edited. Such as Ezra and Nehemiah around 200 BCE, you see, so that now they collected and compiled all used by God, because God does not start work and leave it halfway.
Yeah.
So the compilation was done also by God using individuals, the wise people, the prophets, the priests, and the Jewish scholars, to collect and edit. And then compile one, this book, which is to reveal to us the character and the mission and the agenda of God about us as He created us. So this, happened gradually over centuries.
All right.
God, working through individual groups, the Jewish people, the educated, so that at the end of the day, we have this library, these books, which is called the Bible.
Okay.
So that in the Bible, God reveals Himself to us, His agenda, His love, His character, His being. So that's how, compilation came into being.
Yeah. And when Paul, John, Luke, Matthew, etc., were writing their epistles and letters, were they aware that they would become part of the Scripture, the New Testament?
Well, when looking at them writing, they were writing as individuals, the epistles and the letters. They were addressing specific issues within the community. You see, and it's a big no, because to them they were just doing their duty. They were not intending doing that with the agenda this to be in the New Testament. You see, God used them to write, to address those specific issues that were being inspired to them by God to write. It was not their intention, those who are writing this, because we want to be part of the, the New Testament. That was not their intention. Their intention was to write what God, inspired them to write. So what happened, it happened. But it was not their main thing, was to get the message from God, use them in their human language to write. It's a big no that they were doing to be, their work to be canonized, to be in the New Testament. That was not their intention.
I see.
Their intention was to write. And so, those who were assigned by God to collect and put it in the New Testament, they were playing their part, but these, the writers, were just writing as inspired by God.
So when the Bible says all scripture, I think it's Timothy 1, the 3, I think says all scripture is God-breathed, etc., they were not literally referring to the New Testament, since they were just writing letters. They were actually referring to the Tanakh.
Come again. I want to make sure that I get clarity to what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm saying that when the scripture says in 1 Timothy 3 that all scripture is God-breathed, that scripture they're referring to is the Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
Because,
you're asking?
I'm asking, yeah.
Okay.
because the New Testament, well, the New Testament would not be scripture, really. They were just writing the letters and admonishing people of their time.
Yes, and then the scholars, those assigned by God to collect and put them in the New Testament. Mm. That was their work. That was their mission. So these were doing their work, because as you are saying, the scripture is there to correct, to train, to empower, to you know, in other words, to make us fit to the agenda of God. You see, because the character is very much important in, you know, in the plan of salvation. Because knowing these things and not doing them, there is no blessing. So the scripture corrects us, trains us, empower us, you know, so that we be blessed with that conduct, that heavenly conduct. Then when, for an instant, faith is an attitude of mind and the pattern of conduct. For instance, if you look at Abraham, Abraham called by God and he believed God. And when God asked him to sacrifice his son, because he believed in God, he trusted God, he had confidence in God. He did what, you know, what God commanded him to do. That action completed his faith. That action perfected his faith. That is, his attitude was faith, his attitude of the mind, and action, that is the conduct. Hence, God now says, Abraham is my friend. Because he completed and perfected his faith in God. So the writers, those who were called by God to write, wrote. And others were assigned by God to collect, those God that he blessed them with education, with wisdom, to collect what has been written and put into these 66 books called the Bible. So everyone is doing, playing his part, because to claim that we believe in God without action to prove our belief. You know, for instance, if you read in the book of James chapter 2 from 18 to 23, we're told there about the demons. Demons believe in God wholeheartedly. They believe in the second coming. They believe in Jesus as the Son of God. But they are failure. They don't have the conduct of a believer. And that stage is called credence. So we must be careful as believers. It's good that we all claim to believe with faith in God. That's fine. But now we must grow in terms of, we must have actions to complete, to perfect our faith. Hence, when you look at the demons, they were politically correct, theologically correct. They believed in God as the creator of heaven and earth, but they did not have the actions that were in harmony with their belief. And this is a concern that we must be careful as believers, because we might be satisfied and be impressed that we are believing. But do you have actions to prove your belief in God? In other words, you must grow now, you must become mature Christians. That belief, which is a theory, attitude of the mind, you also need to be practical about your belief. Then your faith is complete. So Abraham's faith was complete because he had action that was in harmony with his belief in God. This is what we need as people of God. In fact, when we look at the scriptures, you know, if you read the message of the cross in 1 Corinthians from chapter 1, verse 18, there the Bible, God talks about destroying the wisdom of the wise and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. So when we come to scriptures, we must put aside our cleverness, our human wisdom. It does not work. You need to believe. You need faith, because faith, it is a pin. but unlocks the Bible. And this is what we need, because we are not going to enter the kingdom of God by our cleverness, by us being prudent and wise. We need to be humble, to believe, to trust in God, not trust in our education, trust in our wisdom, trust in our knowledge. So some brethren, you know, they miss this thing which is very critical and very important. But when it comes to the word of God, you need to trust God and Him alone, not our wisdom. Because the wisdom of the world has been proved over the years that it cannot stand against God. Because God's wisdom is above human wisdom. So ours is to, you know, when you talk of faith, it means less of you and more of Christ, meaning we must decrease, He must increase. That's what faith means. So many people, when they look at the Bible, the Word of God, they come with their cleverness, with their wisdom. They look at the Word of God through their own wisdom. Hence, you find that the Jews were always, when it comes to the message of the cross, it was a stumbling block to them. And when you look at the Greeks, the guys who were known for their, you know, genius, people that were very smart, blessed by God with their smartness, but they missed the message of the cross. When they looked at it, they saw it as something that is foolishness, because they did not believe. They believed in their wisdom, in their smartness. As a result, they and the Jews as a nation, the same WhatsApp group, because they were lacking faith in God.
Yeah, now...
So when dealing with the Bible, that's how we must look, you know, we must see.
With the eyes of faith.
If you allow the Spirit to guide us and have faith in God,
not in us. Right. Now, how can we then know that Scripture is truly, truly God's Word? Is it by faith?
Yes. In fact, there are, you know, in the Bible, if you go through the Bible, there is what is called the Big Five. No, I remember Pilate asking Jesus, what is the truth? In John 18, verse 8, what is the truth? Now, if you look at the Big Five, the Bible says God is truth. God, that is God the Father. Then it says Jesus Christ is truth. That's John 14, verse 6. Then it moves on to say the Spirit is truth. That is 1 John 5, verse 6. And then it moves on to say the Word is truth. John 17, verse 17. And then says the last one, 5, the law is truth. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. That is Psalms 119, verse 142. So now, what is common about these Big Five? If you look at them, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that is the word of God and the law of God.
Yeah.
This, what is common amongst them, they are all eternal. Number two, they are all, they do not change.
Okay.
If you look at the years, the centuries that have passed by, God is eternal, the Son is eternal, the Spirit is eternal, the Word of God. There's been a lot of challenges to the Word of God, but it's still standing. And many are people, special people called Christians, they live their lives according to the Word of God.
Yeah.
The law of God is standing, having been challenged, you know, by the smart people of this world, but it's still as the rule of life. Perfect. God the Father is perfect. God the Son is perfect. God the Holy Spirit is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. The law of God is perfect. So that is the truth of the five truths of the Bible. they stand against all odds. They are still standing until Jesus will come again. So how can you know that the scripture is truly God? Because it is the word of God. Remember, it was God using humanity. He's the author of the Bible. He used, according to 2 Peter. You see, people did not write because of themselves, but they were being moved, inspired by God to write. And these people, in their writing of their Bible, they wrote in different ages. Men who differed widely in rank and occupation and in mental and spiritual endowment. So the books of the Bible present a wide contrast in style as well as diversity in the nature of the subject unfolded. That is a masterpiece. That's a God we serve. So organized. So for us to know that this is true, because it is standing. There are people who have invested their lives in the word of God. There are people, in fact, the word of God, you know, is a way of life. Our ways of life are run according to the word of God. It is there to guide people.
Yeah.
People have sacrificed, you know. I know for myself, I was in the world living for the world, but when I met Jesus, he transformed my life and I became a new person in Christ. And there are a lot of such people all over the world because of the word of God, because it transforms people's lives. And people said, man, I've been foolish all along and I thought I was in the right direction. But now I discover that I was in the world. And people have sacrificed and have even been prepared to die for this word of God. And it's still standing. That to us is a proof beyond doubt that it is truly the word of God.
I see. Now, before I let you go then, Pastor, one more question. Are the scriptures inerrant or infallible?
Well, the scriptures are inerrant, meaning, because when you say infallible, meaning there can be no errors. And it is only God who is infallible. Remember, God used human beings. And now, when it comes to the word of God, those who have accepted Christ as a personal savior, they believe that the Bible is without fault in its teachings. The teachings of the Bible are perfect.
Right.
As a result, many people, you know, their life is centered around the teachings of the Bible because of them being perfect. Now, when you say inerrant, you mean that they are without error in terms of teachings and lifestyle. You know, this exemption from error, because how can be there error when it was God himself? A God who does not err. A God who created the way from nothing. You see? How can he? We make mistakes as human beings, but God does not err. In fact, he is beyond that. And this is his word. Because the word is not my word. Remember the big five. Now, for instance, in that big five, if I were to talk to you, let me just read quickly from where am I? 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm writing verse 14, these things to you, hoping to come to you before long, verse 15. But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you'll know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. Now, we have seen that the word is truth, the law is truth, the Son is truth, the Spirit is truth, and God the Father is truth. Now, when it comes to the church of the living God, that is the people. Now, the people, he said here by St. Paul, that is the church now, is the pillar and the support of the truth. Other versions say it is the ground of the truth.
Yeah.
In other words, for me as a being, for somebody to say that brother, you know, is truthful. I can be only truthful only when I'm connected to Jesus.
Mm.
You see, that's the only way a human being can be truthful. After all, we are sinners left, right, and center.
All right, thank you so much. The
only time a human being becomes, you know, truthful is when he or she is connected to Jesus. Without that connection to Jesus, we are nothing, my friend.
Mm.
You see, so what is important here is, hence now the Bible says, the church is not the truth. Because we as human beings, we have errors. You are good today, but tomorrow, you know, during the day, you are a Christian. In the evening, now you are doing the works of the devil. That's us. And the only time for a human being to be right, you know, to have the righteousness of God is when that person has accepted Christ as a personal savior.
Right.
And is, you know, is having a conduct that is in harmony with what he is in his mind.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor, for coming through and giving us this introductory talk. We're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow, same time and same place. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much,
my friend.
Thank you. Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.